Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment.
All right, this is the MGB review of AEW Rampage and AEW Dark.
Yep, it's still, we're recording on the same day, we're recording on the Sunday while we still remember, still don't have any notes.
30 seconds after.
Just wrote down the thing. Mm-hmm. During the event, I didn't mention this, you know how I was on my phone and I was trying to write in the matches so we could see it was, because I was like, they're not going to have the results from AEW Dark, because it doesn't happen until, they already posted them online.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, so I wasted my time. So I spent all that time trying to keep switching my phone on, typing the people in, and missing photographs at some point, and all that stuff. Hey. It is what it is.
Don't worry, I got plenty.
Uh-huh. So anyway, yeah, when we went in, I asked the people who were helping there at the facility were awesome.
Yeah.
Like, we went down, because for this one, so this is the one where I managed to find, after we'd interviewed Ben Bishop, I was like, oh, I haven't looked for a while. Let me go see what the prices are right now, see what I can find. Can I get 3 seats? Because I really wanted to take Jackson for this one. And prices were much better. But then I saw 2 floor seats, row C, at a price cheaper than I paid for the ones for Wednesday night. And I was like, boom, done. No problems at all. Like, the other ones were literally, like I said, they were 500 to like 5,000, some of those ones. It was like, yeah, no, I can't do that. So we got the floor. So we walked down and, oh my gosh, you could just tell straight away.
Yeah.
We took pictures because we were right in front of the Jumbotron as well, because we were at the edge of the, imagine where the ramp ends, you got the ring, and then it's us.
Yeah.
So we got great pictures from there, and then we retook the pictures because you weren't happy with your mask, I wasn't happy with
this. Yeah, the tag was sticking out.
I know, we were like super, like, hey,
it's
not,
once in a life.
We're not going to get a chance to do this very often, so we're going to make the most of it. I'm going to make sure our picture looks good. Also, as we're walking down, we did see, I think he's a super fan. He was wearing a box over his head, and not sure who it is. I did ask the Brainbuster boys, and I think they recognized it, but they didn't know who he was. But he was a prominent character. So, I don't know. I'm guessing he's a super fan, but yeah, he was front row. He was easy to find on the when you watch the highlights.
Yeah.
And then you, from there, you could go, well, he was there, so I was here. And you could try lining up a few of those shots. So we found our seats, took a few pictures. We still got there kind of early. We got there a little earlier for this one because when I tried to get book my parking for this one, it said no parking. I was like, oh, great, we could be in big trouble. We got there, and there was no problem parking at all. So we had a bit more time, which was good. Because I also said, we're not normally going to be this close. I am quite happy sitting there, looking up there. We got our phones to play with anyway.
Yeah.
And I asked one of the security people, I was like, hey, can you tell me where the lost and found is? And he said, I'm not sure, but if you go out to the front, find a people wearing the uniforms, they can tell you. So we walked out, I found one of those people. She could have just said, it's right over there, look for the little table, and I would have been, but she escorted us all the way, was super helpful. And I said, look, I know there's not very much chance, but did you by any chance find an iPod? And she's like, blue case? And I immediately start smiling because I was like, oh my God, they have it. I couldn't believe it that they'd actually, somebody had handed that in. And anyway, they, with it being a table rather than actual room, I guess, like you would have at Capital One.
Yeah.
She said, let me go get it. And she came back. She's like, can you put your code in just so I can see it's you? Boom, boom, boom. Done. And that was it. So I got my iPod back. So that was, that could have been the real sour point of this one. If I had lost my iPod, that would have been pretty bad. But yeah, so I got my iPod back. We got some pictures. And we were good. We went back. And I don't think really much happened. I think after we posted a few things on Twitter, it seemed to start pretty quick, actually.
Yeah.
That's the thing I think more about this one than anything. The time went really quick. It just flew by because we kept looking at times like, oh my gosh, that's the first hour gone already. I was like, anyway, all right. First match then was the bunny with the blade, defeating Erica Lee.
Allie Cat. Not Allie Cat.
The bunny is Allie from Impact.
Yeah, I remember now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think Erica got much, but I remember there was Erica Chance.
There was Erica Chance.
Allie wasn't a heel though.
She is a little bit.
Bunny, whatever.
Yeah, she is a little bit. I would say she's
a bunny. That's a stupid name.
I don't know. Perhaps Allie was, I don't know. It's a very generic name. I don't know. I don't know the reason. Yeah, I did. It was good that we were close enough because it was like, let's go, Erica. And she kind of turned around. I don't know if she could see where exactly people were calling, but you could definitely get the wrestler's attention. Yeah. Like when I was shouting, if it would have been on the Wednesday, when I was screaming, let's go, bro. Like, I don't think Bro Keller heard for 1 second, but I was
silent.
I was shouting kind of loud. But
I think Sting heard all the grand. Oh, we forgot about that. We didn't do the after everything when Tony Khan and Sting came out.
Oh, that's fine. Well, you can go ahead and do it now.
Yeah, basically after that event, Tony Khan and Sting came out.
Well, they were already out. Tony Khan came out.
Yeah, Tony Khan came out, and they were basically chatting.
He brought Sanjay Dutt out as well.
Yeah, Sanjay Dutt came out, and then they were talking about how Sanjay and Tony were like watching Starrcade.
Mm-hmm. 97.
Yeah, 97, and then they
talking
were
talking about the controversy. Yeah. Did you know what it was?
No. Yeah.
Because like, I watched
Sting wasn't supposed to win any one. He didn't even have his, like, Tanner on.
Yeah, so you're basically repeating what I told you from what I saw. All right, so I saw them, and I read some of the comments that went with it afterwards. That's why it was so controversial. But, yeah, it was Hogan pinned him, 1-2-3, and Bret Hart said, I'm not having this BS anymore. Like, he'd already had the Montreal Screwjob. He's like, that was a fast count. He took over as ref, and they restarted the match, and then Sting did win. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a fast count at all. Now, the only problem was then, did the ref screw up? Was the ref supposed to do a fast count and messed up? Did Bret just totally make him? So there was a lot of things that went on with it, but somebody said, like, yeah, Sting didn't even put, like, his tan and stuff on. Like, he didn't look like he was ready for the match. I couldn't tell that from watching the match personally. But obviously people who know Sting might have noticed he was a little different for that match. So, yeah. I don't know. So, yeah, that was kind of what they talked about. Sanjay, of course, talked about the fact that he's a DC boy. He was born, like he said, 20 minutes from here or whatever. Because at Nova Pro, he always used to say, I went to school right down the road here on Braddock Road and things like that. So, yeah, it was great to see Sanjay Dutt there.
Yeah.
And, had a chat with Sting in the ring. And, they called Tony Schiavone out as well. Because they said, I know people in the crowd, you wouldn't have been able to hear this, but on commentary, it's Sting. So he got to...
Yeah, I have no clue who Tony Schiavone is.
But he was the commentator. He was originally a big commentator in that era as well, he would have done that. But he does it now as well, so... But yeah, Sting's entrance was...
But Sting also talked about the grandpa chants.
Yep, he heard them. But it was nice fun. It was a fun little thing to do. They didn't have to do that at all. It was only like 10 minutes or so, but it was nice to... I would say Tony thanked everybody.
Wasn't as cool as the one today.
They had a little chat and so on. And anyway, we'll talk about... Yeah, we'll get back to the proper one now. All right. It was over pretty quickly, but it was great to see Erica Lee there as well. She was also at the one in Norfolk as well, so they obviously knew what she could do, and it was a perfectly fine match.
Yeah.
Next one was Aaron, I think it's Solo, I think that's how you pronounce it, with Anthony Ogogo and QT Marshall, and defeated Sonny Kiss.
Uh-huh. I remember Sonny was really over.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
And who was Sonny facing?
Aaron Solo.
I don't know why. I don't really remember too much.
I'll tell you the thing that might help you jog your memory. Obviously, you know who Sonny Kiss is.
Yeah.
But the fans in front of us were actually cheering QT Marshall. They were like, we love you, QT. Because everyone hates QT Marshall.
Oh, yeah. Because he was out there with the bowler guy.
Anthony
bowler
Adogo.
Manager. Yeah, the bowler manager guy.
Mm-hmm.
That had the bowling suit on.
Okay.
And the guys in front of us really liked Anthony.
Yeah. Sonny had some good moves in this one. It was a standard match, but 3-on-1 really effectively, because it was always a handicap match. Whenever they could mess up things, they would interfere, or they would distract and let Aaron get back in. I thought this match was over 5 minutes, but perhaps they just don't list the times on AEW Dark.
Yeah.
And this was actually one where they obviously both came from the ramp as well.
Yeah.
Because it was like, oh, okay, yeah, both of these are recognizable names. Yeah. So
was Sonny from WWE?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't know
why I recognized the name.
On the indies.
Have you seen Sonny before?
In person? I don't think so. I've seen Sonny like on IWTV and things like that, but I don't think I've seen Sonny in person before, no.
Okay.
Next one was 2.0, which is Jeff Parker and Matt Lee and Daniel Garcia defeated Kokoa, Pat Brink, and Rayo. And this would also be a Matt Hardy appearance as well.
Oh, yeah.
We recognized Rayo straight away as he was coming down the side, and I recognized the other people from MCW. I just couldn't remember their names at that time.
Whenever Daniel Garcia's introduced, I always think of the boxer Ryan Garcia.
okay.
I have no clue why. But I've seen him a lot before, like, on YouTube doing, like, the gut challenges or whatever. Or not gut challenge, but...
Ryan Garcia?
Yeah, Ryan Garcia, where he, like, has this really... where it's, like, a YouTuber has this really padded thing. They get punched in the gut. All right, and then after one punch, they're done.
Oh, okay. Sounds a little bit like Jackass from 20 years ago, which is kind of funny because it's going back again professional now boxer. With Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, yeah. I saw, like, this professional boxer guy was on Jackass.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he did something in, like, a Japanese mall. I think they were having a boxing match.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me. Yeah, Johnny Knoxville would probably take a punch to the stomach just so he could see what it feels like.
Oh, yeah, and he was fighting a female boxer one time, too.
Yeah, I can totally believe that. You could tell me anything and I'll be like, yep, I can believe that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did stupid stuff.
And they set off fireworks in their house.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like when their dad was taking a poop.
Yes, that I'm trying to think of the guy's name. I can't remember the guy's name, but oh my gosh. Yeah, he used to like wake his dad up all the time. Like he'd punch him in the head and wake him up. And
he put an alligator.
His mom was always like, "What are you doing?" Oh gosh, that's driving me crazy. I can't remember that. That guy was so funny. Oh, Bam Margera.
I don't know.
It was Bam Margera.
I
think he died, actually. He died about 10 years ago.
From the car crash.
I
looked up,
why.
Did somebody from Jackass die, and one of them died in a car crash.
That might have been.
Not related to being anything stupid.
That might have been Bam. Yeah, no, it wasn't. No, I'm pretty sure that was Bam.
It was an accident.
But yeah, no, he was so funny. Like, he'd gone in with the air horns as well, and like, when his dad's trying to sleep, we go, like I say, now it's pretty tame stuff. 20 years ago, it was like cutting edge, but it was just, I thought it was funny. I'll be watching the new one when it comes out for sure. Perhaps not at the cinema, but I'll be watching it when it comes out on DVD.
Yeah,
I might have to watch those again. It's been a long time since I've seen them. Soon.
Really?
Next weekend.
Oh, really?
Well, actually, as we're talking, 6 days away.
Is in the Royal Rumble.
I assume that's why we were talking. Oh, no, because you were talking about Ryan Garcia, yeah. Daniel Garcia is obviously somebody who I've seen. I saw him in his 60-minute IWTV title match against Wheeler Yuta. I don't really know Jeff Parker and Matt Lee particularly, but Daniel Garcia was definitely heel for this one. The guys didn't really get any offense in at all. It was pretty much a squash match, and unfortunately. But
yeah.
It was nice to see Daniel Garcia on there.
Yeah.
Obviously, Daniel Garcia is the recognized name now.
Yeah, because...
So,
I remember Ryo and one other guy, like, their tall guy didn't look nervous at all, but the other ones, I could really tell they were nervous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they didn't know what to do. They were, like, kind of standing around awkward, but he was, like, doing stretches on the ropes and stuff. Not stretches, but he was, like, bouncing on the ropes and stuff. But
Ryo was actually one of the really first autographs that you had. When I was looking back, it was like, because we didn't know him at the time, but we saw his match and was like, oh, he looks good, and his image was really cool. So,
yeah.
And we didn't know at the time he used to wrestle at Nova Pro. He just didn't wrestle at Nova Pro when we were there. All right, next one. Abaddon defeats Gia Scott.
It was a total squash match, but Abaddon reminds me of Su Yung.
Mm-hmm. I can see,
Boogeyman is
people. Yeah, like all those sort of things. The supernatural things. And
it was
really
nice to, like, watch this and then get to, like, laugh at Gia Scott later in UEW.
Yeah, she made an appearance at UEW as well. So, obviously a lot of people recognize Gia. People were shouting from the crowd, "Hey, Gia, let's go, Gia." Because obviously from MCW,
but
for
it was
that
a
connection.
Squash match,
yeah, Abaddon also kind of Max the Impaler as well would be another person who would be kind of very similar.
I remember.
I liked the match, though.
I think it was on the Ben interview. They said, he said Boogeyman was still wrestling.
Yeah.
I better get him on the worm diet.
Huh?
I better get him on the worm diet.
What's that?
It's doing him well.
Oh, is that what he does?
Yeah. Have you not seen him come into the ring with, mouth full of worms?
I thought you were talking about... Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about now or something. I thought that was his thing. If we do choose to go to that, I think it's...
it hasn't
It's not
yet?
This Friday. It's the following Friday, I think. Like I say, it's not easy, but it's in Hagerstown.
Oh, isn't it?
But you know Friday traffic's brutal.
Yeah.
But I would like to go see that. Yeah, it'd probably be our last chance to see Ben Bishop wrestle in person, so... Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because he's...
Going to Atlanta.
Yeah.
Well, probably not ever, but certainly for a while,
ever,
that's for sure. Okay, next one then was Lance Archer defeats Joe Keyes. So hopefully you remember Lance Archer.
Isn't he a Braves fan?
Yeah. Oh, sorry, Ben?
Yeah.
No, he's a Red Sox fan.
Oh, who is that? You're talking about them?
Lance Archer versus Joe Keyes.
They're a Braves fan?
No, I didn't say anyone was a Braves
fan.
Oh,
you said...
I said Ben's moving to Atlanta.
I know. Oh, okay.
Turn
Joe
the hearing
Keyes...
aid up, granddad.
Joe Keyes and that. Okay.
You must remember Joe Keys. You talk about him with Jackson on a regular basis.
I know Joe Keys.
And Joe King as well.
Yeah, but like...
And Samoa Joe. Like, I don't know what the connection is here, but you always seem to want to talk about those people with Jackson.
But
you remember Lance Archer now, because he had a 10-minute match that should have been 2 minutes.
This one, I think he overcompensated.
Possibly.
If I remember correctly, this was a squash match.
It was. It was pretty much that.
Combine the two, it would have been two great matches. He just overcompensated this time.
Yep. Now, the thing that's difficult...
Oh, the little girl.
Oh, finally. I was about to jump in.
Yeah.
I was about to defend you and say, there's a lot of names in this, and with you not being a regular AEW thing, you don't always associate what happened with which person.
Yeah, I'm trying to, figure out who's who. Like, the last match...
You didn't know the difference between Abaddon and Gia Scott?
The one before that.
Daniel Garcia and Rayo?
No.
Rayo?
No, who else?
Aaron Solo and Sonny Kiss?
No.
You're not doing very well here. The Bunny and Erica Lee? Tell us about the little girl.
So, the little girl
who's on the front row.
I don't remember exactly how it started at first, but like Lance started not screaming, but going in her face and stuff. And she got really scared.
Joe Keys on the outside. The action happened on the outside, and then
she probably got chopped on, right in front of her.
I think that's what happened.
And then he's like, and then she got scared. She got a little bit scared, and then he kept doing it. After the match, he came back and started doing it again.
He did. I thought it was... It was being a heel.
I think she left for a little bit after that.
Now, the unfortunate thing is, I can't go back and watch that yet, because I think we should definitely be on TV for that one.
Yeah, I even raised my arm, because I saw it was...
Yeah, there were certain points where we're like, oh, we could be on TV for this, and that was one of those, but it's not on there.
Like, Jon Moxley, I thought surely I would have been picture.
Oh, sorry, clear. No.
Yeah, clear picture.
No, not clear. Well, I showed you mine on the...
I thought you got a better picture.
I did get a better picture. You can't tell for sure it's me, but... It's
you.
It is. There's no one else it could be. Because you can see from the people who were around us. That was really what helped. Like, from where we were sat, you could see, people, obviously, either side of you in front. And then when you showed you the camera angle, you'd kind of use them to figure out, if they're there, then I must be here, so...
And a fan got in a match, too.
I did?
Yeah. You don't remember?
Not in this one.
Wow.
I remember SW...
No, in this match.
In this
match? A fan got in a match.
Oh, rock, paper, scissors?
Yeah.
Not in this match. This event. Okay, it's your lack of English skills that are confusing me.
He did get in a match.
All right, next one. Powerhouse Hobbs with Ricky Starks defeated Lee Johnson with Brock Anderson. So you know who Powerhouse Hobbs is now.
Yeah,
so that's
Powerhouse Hobbs was strong.
Uh-huh.
That's what I remember about this.
Okay.
Match.
Oh well, what I remembered is the exact opposite. I'd seen Lee Johnson appear a couple of times before and didn't really resonate with me at all. Lee Johnson was amazing. He was really skillful. He was sizing up with Powerhouse Hobbs.
Yeah.
Like, you talked before about when people was hitting Lance Archer and it was having no effect.
Yeah.
Like, he was clearly in a similar position, but he was going right at him. Like, he wasn't standing back. So Johnson really impressed me.
I go back and look at my pictures and then I see their faces, I will probably remember a lot more about this match. But I'm absolutely blanking on what their faces look like.
Powerhouse Hobbs, you don't remember?
Yeah, I remember Powerhouse Hobbs, but I don't remember anyone else.
Okay. All right.
Soon as I see the picture, will come together.
I wouldn't have, before this match, if you'd have put four pictures up and said which one's Lee Johnson, I don't think I would have known, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'd only seen a couple and nothing really stood out. He was probably
appreciate this match. Probably in 20 minutes after I go look at the picture.
Yeah, when you watch the highlights on Monday as well, I think.
Yeah.
Tuesday. It'll probably be...
Yeah, then it'll probably resonate with me.
All right, next one. You know both of these. Layla Hirsch and Jhenny Kai, because we already mentioned them. They had their second appearances.
Yeah. I was really surprised Jhenny Kai came back.
Yeah, I was.
Again.
I didn't know that they had local talent come back twice.
I guess
that was really cool.
I wonder if it was a mistake last time, if it wasn't supposed to end that quickly.
Well, I'm also wondering as well for things like this. We've talked about, when we talked to Ben Bishop, when he was down in Florida, he was supposed to be on the first show, wasn't on. He was supposed to be on the second show, wasn't on. Then finally he was on the third show. It makes me wonder, sometimes if people aren't available, then it's hey, Jhenny, do you want to, is it okay if we use it? And then if they're backstage anyway and they're in their gear, then hey, why not?
Yeah.
Then you're not going to turn down a match against Layla Hirsch.
I remember Jhenny Kai got an armbar locked in.
Mm-hmm.
But so, because she got a good amount of offense in this match.
Mm-hmm. Once again, Layla Hirsch was too dominant in the end. Layla Hirsch is really good.
Yeah.
The crowd were really into Layla Hirsch for this one. Considering they were more negative for the first one,
yeah.
They were definitely more in for Layla Hirsch for this one. So that was... one thing I took from this. Next one, 8-man tag team match. The Acclaimed, Anthony Bowens and Max Caster. The Gun Club, Austin Gunn and Colton Gunn. I couldn't remember Colton Gunn. That was the one I was blanking on. Obviously with Billy Gunn. Defeated the Dark Order. Oh, Alan Angels, who I mentioned earlier. Alex Reynolds, Evil Uno, and Ten. And John Silver was ringside.
Yeah. The Acclaimed, I think, came in with a rap song,
too. Yeah, Max Caster always does a rap, yep.
Billy Gunn did a rap, too.
Mm-hmm. He also was about to do something from a DX, but his son took the microphone from him and wouldn't let him do it, and he got a massive boos for that. Everyone wanted to see that.
I thought they did do it.
Well, he did it, but it was kind of off-camera, and it was the microphone, and so it wasn't as effective as it might have been.
I wonder if they got cancelled for that.
I'm sorry it was set up deliberately to do it that way, but it was a shame. It would have been a cool moment.
Yeah.
I think it would have been... AEW doesn't normally necessarily talk about WWE unless it's in a negative way, and vice versa. And there was a few exceptions. On SmackDown on Friday night, Seth Rollins was cutting a promo with Roman Reigns, and he referred to Moxley rather than Ambrose, which obviously is his WWE name. So there is times up. When... No. No, and McAfee on commentary did the same thing. He said Moxley, so no, it was deliberate.
Oh, okay.
It was deliberate. Like, that's not like it's his real name or anything. Like, if that was his real name, then you might go, oh, he just got it mixed up. No, it was planned. So they are talking about each other a little bit. It's not as bad as it was.
But I remember CM Punk mentioned Dave Batista later.
He did. And so should we talk about that later?
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about this match before you forget?
Forget again, though, but... Okay.
The Acclaimed, Gun Club. Do you want me to tell you what I can remember then from this?
The Gun Club was really good.
Yeah, I told you their record is phenomenal.
Both of them were Billy Gunn's kids.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's crazy.
They had way more time in the ring than the Acclaimed. That was the thing that kind of... I thought it would be kind of equal. They kept tagging themselves in, though. So whenever they had the chance, like, they'd tap somebody. I think they tapped on the back to get in.
It's because it's their own tag team. Like, they're brothers. They have so much years of chemistry.
Bowens and Caster have been tagging together for a long time as well. So.
Not as much as they have.
How old do you think the Gun Club are? Like, it's not like
surely
they're...
they haven't been tagging for late. I'm not talking tagging. I'm talking about like
being probably as little kids,
like chemistry and stuff.
Sure. Yeah,
like they
won't.
Have probably like 20 years plus.
You're probably right.
Chemistry and they only have probably like 5, seven most.
One person I would have liked to have seen. I didn't have it on my checklist, my imaginary checklist that I thought about, but I thought about it afterwards because I saw one of the signs. It would have been cool to see -1 in this match as well. That's Brody Lee's son. Like, he comes out with the Dark Order a lot.
Oh, I thought Brody's son was like 5.
He's like probably 9 or 10.
Oh, he.
So he comes out. He has his own mask on. Because they all have numbers. So, like, Uno is 1, 10 is obviously 10, etc., etc. So he's -1.
How that works.
He just comes out. He just walks out with them. And they kind of jolt.
It's like a tag team?
He doesn't wrestle.
1 through 10? I know that. Like,
there's lots of different members of the Dark Order. Well, Alan Angels obviously isn't a number. And Alex Reynolds obviously isn't a number either.
Oh, I totally forgot what I was going to say.
I think Alan Angels is part of the Dark Order.
I got this good, like, picture of all of, like, the Gunn Brothers and the Acclaimed doing, like, a cheer in the middle of the ring after they won.
Oh, cool.
Like, they were all holding hands and, like...
I'll have to see what pictures you've got at some point, because I was doing mine, you were doing yours, but you might have some that I want to post as well.
Oh, wow. Oh, R-Truth and that Acclaimed guy should do a rap battle.
Yeah.
They'd both do the same thing.
Yeah.
So you can come up with a better rap.
Mm-hmm.
And Elias should join in, because he's funny.
I don't remember anything specific about this match. It checked all the boxes. It was fine. Yeah, it was entertaining. It was chaos at times when multiple people came in, and I'm sure John Silver interfered.
Oh yeah, they were fighting. Like, John Silver and Billy Gunn were fighting right in front of us.
Yeah. And Billy was kind of Billy.
This
Gunn's
was
good.
Still dark.
Yep, this is still dark. Yep. All right. I think it is. Hold on, let me just scroll down a
when
little
it's
bit.
Dark,
so
it's
yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. I remember what the main event is, so yes, it definitely is. All right, next one then. Dante Martin, Lee Moriarty, and Matt Sydal defeated AHFO, Isaiah Cassidy, Mark Queen, and The Blade with Jose the Assistant and Matt Hardy. Now, one thing we didn't mention on the other one was when Hardy came out, that actually we had Andrade come out, and he now owns the company.
Come out.
He has on the back screen.
Yeah.
He owns 51% of the company now, so it's now Andrade, Hardy, blah 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 blah. I'm wondering then, the talk is Jeff going to go to AEW? So if he does, he'd obviously want to tag with Matt. So Matt obviously needs to get out of that storyline. So strange that Andrade would take that position, but it kind of frees Matt up to leave that group and then tag with... So I'm hoping that's what that means. That would be particularly cool.
Okay, storyline here. Andrade gets these, like, magical documents. Since he has 51% of the company, he owns most of the company, right? He can kick Matt out of there.
He could.
Matt gets mad. He starts fighting Andrade and, like, the whole group.
Yep.
And then Jeff comes in, and then they just take them all out. And then they're like, woo! And then they start pointing at something. And then they fight next event. Like,
coming. It's coming.
Next pay-per-view.
It's an obvious way of setting up a rivalry, right? That's the whole point of having a match. There has to be a reason for having a match.
Big brain.
There would be a
and
big
then Lita
reason
comes back, too.
That, well, she's on the WWE right now.
She
so
is?
You just embarrassed yourself right there. Yeah, she's in the Royal Rumble.
Oh.
But never mind. There was talk that she could go to AEW at one point.
Yeah, like, she gets fired. Then she comes back with Jeff. Yeah.
Don't remember anything specific about this match, to be honest. I remember Matt Sydal being amazing again. I remember Lee Moriarty being good. And I told you Dante Martin's really good because I wasn't sure if you knew who Dante Martin was. I don't remember any specifics, though, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah. I remember, like, Matt was doing a bunch of flippy stuff.
He was?
Yeah. Like, not flippy stuff, but, like, off the top rope jump flippy stuff.
Oh, I don't even remember that. I do remember one of the... I think it must have been Private Party who did like a Twist of Fate just so they could show to Matt Hardy, but that was in the previous one. I'd forgotten about that.
They were like, look at this, Matt.
I think that was Private Party. I'd forgotten that at the time. All right, next one. Penta El Thero Miedo. I'm hoping you can remember that. With Alex Abrahantes defeated Wheeler Yuta with Chuck Taylor and Chris Statlander. No Orange Cassidy, which I thought was kind of weird.
Orange Cassidy was on the outside.
No, he wasn't. Not for this one.
On this one?
Nope. It was Chuck Taylor. It was a guy. He was wearing the 76ers jersey because they were booing him, remember?
Oh, he was in the ring?
He wasn't in the match at all.
Oh, yeah.
Orange Cassidy was nowhere near this one. I was thinking you might remember Penta El Thero Miedo.
Yeah, that was.
Thero Miedo. Okay, all right, fine. Okay, yeah, you got this. All right.
Oh, that's a different match.
Yes, this is Penta El Thero Miedo versus Wheeler Yuta.
Yeah, I know. We got to see Orange Cassidy on the outside, though.
That's later. That's coming up. He was with Trent. That's coming up.
So, I remember Wheeler Yuta, like, actually got a good amount of offense. Well, he actually came out through the front, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, it wouldn't have been a squash match.
Yeah, it was not going to be.
But I totally can't remember his name. Not Wheeler Yuta.
Penta.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Penta... Thero Miedo. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Zero.
Fear.
I'm not sure what Miedo is.
Zero fear.
I thought it was Mieta to begin. Oh, is that what
zero
it is?
Zero fear.
Like, I thought Mieta was shit. So I thought it was like, oh, he takes zero Fs or whatever. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, okay. Oh, I thought Mieta was death, actually, as well.
Yeah.
Mieta, I think, is...
Shit. Murder?
But I think Miedo. Oh, could be. Could be based on murder. So it could be like death on that. Oh, that's nice little bit of word derivation there. We're going to find out later that it probably means something probably
it's
nothing
fear.
Like that.
I think it's fear.
All right.
No fear.
Okay. That makes sense as well.
But, like, he did that Thero Miedo right in Yuta's face. Like, he pushed his face with that. Uh-huh. And then he tried to do it again. Except Wheeler Yuta caught it. Like, not caught. Like, but he, like, stopped it.
Uh-huh.
And then he wasn't able to do that.
My translator just says afraid, but underneath it says fear, so that makes perfect sense. So he nailed it. Good call.
Yeah, I learned that on Impact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, how old is he? Like, 50s?
Penta?
Yeah, because isn't he Ray's dad?
What?
Isn't he Ray's dad?
Hold on, which Ray are you talking about? Ray Mysterio?
Ray Phoenix Jr.
Oh, I thought you meant it was Ray Mysterio's dad. I was going to say, what on earth are you talking about?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of L.A. Park.
Okay, that makes
more
sense.
Wait, who is L.A. Park's kid then?
Echo de L.A. Park?
Yeah.
The son of L.A. Park?
Oh.
In Spanish, El Hijo is... I'm probably pronouncing it wrong, but that is...
Okay, so I'm mixing up Penta...
So you just saw Lucha Mask.
They're brothers then. Oh, okay. They're brothers. And then... There's, like, another tag team is, like, L.A. Park and his son.
Uh-huh, yeah, so they're totally different.
Oh, races. Okay, yeah, I remember now. Okay, I was just mixing them up.
All right. Penta El Thero Miedo. Pentagon Jr. Oh, that's what he used to be known as.
Yeah,
Pentagon. Okay. All right. So let's have a look. Debut 2007, age 36. And his birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks' time from Mexico. Let's see. Signed to All Elite. He is one half of the Lucha Brothers alongside his real-life younger brother, Rey Fénix.
Yeah, you're talking
about Rey Fénix. Okay. Yeah, and that was the reason why I came out with Alex, because Rey Fénix, I want to say, he looked like he'd broken something. But yeah, he was injured. I did mention that Rey Fénix... Okay, I was seriously confused. I didn't know that you necessarily knew who Rey Fénix was at that
point. I remember him from Impact.
Okay. I love this match. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it was
back and
great.
Forth. Both groups had positive sides to it. Chuck Taylor and Chris Statlander didn't really have much to do in this one. Chuck just pretty much got booed for wearing a 76ers jersey.
Yeah, like
Chris Statlander was wearing Orange Cassidy's jean jacket, but she didn't really do much. She was just kind of standing around. They were tapped on the ring sometimes to try and get the chant going, but they were pretty much, they didn't really play any role in it at all. Sometimes they play a bigger role when they're on the side, but I mean, it was. I like this match. Yeah. There was definitely This Is Awesome in this match.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And it was. It was probably, with the exception of the last match I'm going to talk about, it was probably the pick of the matches, probably, from the...
The guy behind us kept yelling, like, the 76ers suck, the Eagles suck, the Phillies suck.
Yeah.
Like, everything.
He was really going
cheese for Cheese steaks suck.
Yeah. I think at one point Chris actually put her hands over his ears, I seem to remember as well, so he didn't have to listen to it. All right, this was the main event then of Dark. Jungle Boy with Luchasaurus defeated Nick Comoroto with Aaron Solo and QT Marshall. I thought this was tag team to begin with, so I got really confused, because I was like, why is he tagged in Luchasaurus yet? And you were like, because it's singles? And I was like, oh, well, that would explain
it.
Because I said, why isn't Luchasaurus like on the side waiting for a tag? And you're like, it's a singles match.
Yeah.
And I felt pretty stupid at that point. Love the entrance, obviously. Love Baltimore, a song anyway. Jungle Boy was one of the people. I did want to see that entrance. Wheeler Yuta was one of the people I wanted to see, but I just assumed that there's so many people on the card that I probably wouldn't get the chance. So that was definitely a bonus.
Is he signed?
Sure. Yeah.
Oh, he is? That's nice.
I believe so.
Okay.
Well, if he's not, let's put it this way. He appears a lot.
Okay.
Well, he does, unless I'm just lucky. Like, every week I tune in, I always get to see Wheeler Yuta.
Oh, I didn't know he was signed.
I thought he was, but he might not be. He might just be appearing regularly.
Uh-huh.
They might just pay him a match at a time. Oh, that was something I missed. Oh, how on earth did we miss that? Oh, gosh. This is why we should write stuff down. I just realized, talking about people who have been signed, I was just about to say, like, Cody Rhodes is apparently a free agent right now. We didn't even talk about Cody's promo.
That was last time, right?
I know. That's what I just said. We just totally missed it. Cody's promo on the ladder. It was a really good promo as well, by Cody. So he's going to face Sammy Guevara next
Sammy
week.
Sammy ruined it with his promo.
Yeah. From the holding up the signs and dropping them one by one.
Yeah, making us read.
I guess. Well, we did say we weren't taking notes, so I think it's only fair we missed stuff. With this many matches, we must have been... I haven't added them up, but we must be talking 30 matches here. That's fine. We got everything there in the end. Thoroughly enjoyable match. I can't believe the strength of Jungle Boy.
Jungle Boy lifted up whoever he was fighting.
He lifted up Nick.
Nick, yeah.
I was like, holy cow, Nick. Like, Nick's big. So, yeah, Jungle Boy, I know they're talking about him as a future world champion. And QT Marshall was obviously out again, so they were like, we love you, QT. It's like, he's like, he was trying to win, but yeah, he was trying to be a heel.
And Luchasaurus, like, fought QT on the outside, whoever it was.
Yeah.
The bold guy, too.
Yep.
Didn't he get, like, slammed on the, like, the ramp, too?
Probably.
Yeah, he got slammed on the ramp.
That wouldn't surprise me at all for that. Oh, one thing we didn't talk about was the person we were sat next to, we kind of switched seats at one point so you could see a little bit better. Like, he was a Maryland, big Maryland fan. Like, he would live kind of close to us, but yeah, he was recognizing a few of these people because I remember talking to him. I was like, I think Nick was, because he's proposed to that referee from MCW, and I know Luchasaurus appeared up at MCW as well, so I remember talking to him. That was kind of cool, actually, having somebody to talk about in between matches. He was showing us his pictures that he took when he went down there. At the location in Jacksonville. So, yeah, I guess that was the other thing that made this go kind of quick. Oh, that's why it went so quick before we started, because we were kind of talking to him about different wrestlers. Yeah. He was showing us pictures. And
well, how about how we need to go to Jacksonville?
Yeah, yeah.
We do.
Yep. I'm telling you, that was on my list for spring break 2020.
And it's free.
And then COVID. Well, they don't do that now because they're touring, obviously. So that was the only thing, unless we suddenly get locked down again. And if they get locked down again, I don't want to go down to Florida anyway at that point. All right, let's get to Rampage then. So first match, Moxley versus Ethan Page. 10 minutes 15 seconds, 6.76 rating. So now you can talk about why you thought you were on TV.
Because John Moxley came to kick over a trash can right like behind me.
And you were leaning out filming it, and you did. Mm-hmm. I got a picture of it, but it's blurry. Jackson didn't even know it was what it was. He was looking at totally the wrong thing.
Yeah, I was
thing,
looking
but...
at John Moxley in it.
But when I pointed yeah. to it, it's you. It's just not massively clear. But you could, unfortunately, I did it frame by frame, and the next frame he turns around, so yeah. you can't see it.
But
I had to watch two different review shows just to get that clip, though.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Oh,
on
I found
the first
it
one I watched, it didn't even it had a little bit, but it didn't even show him kicking over the trash can.
Yeah, I found him quickly
so,
over the trash can.
Yeah, it wasn't particularly easy. Obviously, you're wearing your Ethan Page shirt for this one.
Yeah.
We haven't seen him since North Carolina, summer 2019, so... I was just excited for the match.
But,
I was happy to see both.
Ethan Page came out. They had a decent amount of mass on the outside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
oh yeah, no. Like, the well, Ethan threw yeah. John Moxley over
he
the
threw
side.
Him over the barricade too. Yep, I caught that. So. That was really close to us too.
Yep. Yeah,
and...
I got that one too, and then obviously he dragged him back in again as well.
Yeah.
So yeah, we got to see kind of
they,
a lot
they
of stuff.
Got slammed into the barricade a lot too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I really enjoyed the match. It did everything I wanted.
John Moxley pulled an upset.
Okay.
Nobody wanted him to win.
I can't imagine him cutting that promo and then going 0-1 for 2022.
Yeah, nobody but... wanted him to win.
Okay, match two. Yeah, that match was 6.76. Match three was Trent Barreto with Orange Cassidy defeated Nick Jackson with Brandon Cutler and Matt Jackson ringside. 13 minutes, and this one got 7.68 rating.
The Young Bucks?
Yeah, I thought it was
they
okay.
They were there?
Who do you think Nick Jackson was?
Yeah. Oh,
jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, no. You didn't even know that was the Young Bucks. Oh, God.
They were on the outside?
One of them was in the match.
Oh.
Why
wasn't
was
the other
the
one in there?
He was ringside. Matt Jackson might be injured right now.
Were they, like, wait, was Nick in a match? Like, fight,
Nick,
like with
okay.
the tag team?
Okay, are you listening
I mean,
right
like,
now?
I meant, like, in a tag
Trent
team.
Trent Barreto defeated Nick Jackson.
Oh, that was a Young Buck? Did they even come back? Did they have the Young Bucks like theme song?
I don't remember.
Cause I
it wasn't the Super Kick Party one, if that's what you're asking me. That might be a really old one for all I know. I have that on my iPhone.
No, I mean like one that had said Young Bucks on there.
I don't remember the entrance specifically. You might have been looking on your phone or something. I don't
know. No, I caught every single entrance.
But this is
on
the one
camera.
With Orange Cassidy. You do remember this match because you remember you said Orange Cassidy was ringside. That's this match. This
and,
is where Orange
and was he
inside.
With Beretta or?
Because I was wearing my Orange Cassidy shirt, so
yeah,
we had
yeah,
both.
Yeah.
We both got our people for the first
yeah.
two matches.
Orange Cassidy got into a scuffle on the outside.
Yeah, well, there was two people on the outside.
Yeah, I still can't believe.
All right, there was a lot of flippy stuff in this
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah.
The one specifically I remember more than anything else was Nick Jackson was on the top rope and. Trent was actually on the outside on the ramp, and he did
yeah,
a
yeah,
he did
a
flip onto the ramp, which would have hurt Nick
oh,
just as much
yeah.
as it would have hurt Trent, to be
but
honest.
But they have, like, the Tyler Breeze pants.
Uh-huh. That's what the Young Bucks look like.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
He wasn't wearing that.
He was wearing something like that. It was colorful and bright.
I think of them as, like...
The 2016 version of the Young Bucks, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. The thing that really took me out of my game for this one, and this is, I don't think this is going to mean anything to you, because I don't think you watched the show, the 4400 Club.
Yeah.
No. I couldn't get over how much Nick Jackson looked like one of the lead characters in that, Jordan Collier. I actually grabbed pictures and posted it online, and no response on Twitter at all, except for one person. But they were like, no one could replace Jordan Collier. But no, I just couldn't get over how much they looked alike. They were, they could have been
something?
Twins. He's an actor.
Oh,
he was an actor. To me, the thing that surprised me, and I guess the Young Bucks are probably in their mid-30s now as well, that I always tend to think of the Young Bucks as kind of young, like late 20s,
well,
like
the
young guys on the... Yeah, the young guys on the block, as it were. And yeah, they just... Obviously, they've matured a little bit. And
yeah.
Yeah, Nick Jackson doesn't look the same as when he was on Ring of Honor.
You know what a young buck is, right?
Yes.
It's a young kid or whatever.
Wait, could, there's lots of definitions
well, yeah,
for buck.
Like, yeah. Like money.
That's one definition.
Deer.
Yeah. Deer. Yeah. Yeah.
Like a seat buckle.
I bet that's what they're named after.
No. No.
That's a buckle, not a buck. Anyway.
I know.
Could be a buck when you get thrown off something as well, like a bucking bronco.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like the thing that you put in it, water in.
You're gonna be so good at Wordle after this interview.
The thing that you put water in.
A buck.
Yeah.
You put water. What's that?
A bucket.
Oh, a bucket. Oh, you're being... All right.
Oh, yeah, so, I got the Wordle in two on Dynamite.
Yeah, because you saw my answer. You saw the first three letters of mine and tried to cheat. Amazing. Day before, you got it in one. Amazing, that.
Yeah,
I think you misunderstood the point.
No, but I got it on five the other day. Uh-huh. And then I got it in four today. But uh-huh. I didn't even know what it was.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. It was...
crimp.
Oh, that was today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Today. Because I got...
I think of it as Cornish pasties. When they make the little thing on the top, that's called crimping.
I don't know what a crimp was, but I guess... share, and then it was like troop or something. Mm-hmm. I don't remember.
Uh-huh. All right, what this tells you is he doesn't remember anything about this match. Okay, match three. We forgot this part as well. Hook defeats Serpentico. So on the other show then, the crowd was calling Hook. For send Hook, and he did. He came out with Tony. He offered
chips.
Tony a crisp.
Crisp, yeah.
And then, we forgot that Hook did come out. But he did say afterwards, he's like, oh, so you guys want to see Hook? It's like, well, perhaps if you come back Friday. They'd already announced it by this time, but yeah, Hook was facing Serpentico, so we didn't know we'd get to see that. It was a quick match. It was his first live match, they said. But the crowd, he's well over, because you asked me, like, why is he over? I was like, I don't really know. I know he's Taz's son, but I'm intrigued by his character. He was on my list as well. Like, I want to see more of Hook. I still want to see more of Hook, even now. But, yeah, right now he's just somebody who doesn't care about anything. He, takes his match up. Sounds like dinner's ready. Perfect.
But after he finished his match, he went to the back, ate some chips, smoked some weed.
Speculating. All right, so okay, the AEW TBS title match then.
Well, CM Punk said.
This was 6.14. Jade Cargill with Mark Sterling defeated Anna Jay with John Silver. I was kind of surprised about this one that it was the main event. I thought Moxley might have been the main event, to be honest. And when that came out, and then I was like, oh, well, obviously it'll be the Young Bucks match. And then when it was, they came out second, I was like, well, obviously Hook's only going to be a short match, so I guess that Jade Cargill's the main event. It was her 25th win, so obviously she's pretty dominant. I don't know if you saw Anna Jay's record. It didn't really warrant a title match.
No.
It was like 17-8 or something. I was like, that doesn't sound... So it was kind of a surprise. It was actually a good match. Anna Jay was better than I remembered her from some of her previous matches. Normally it's been kind of squash matches with kind of weak opponents where it was like, eh.
But it was 50-50 from the crowd.
Definitely, yeah. Let's go Cargill. Let's go Jade. Let's go Anna. Yeah, they were definitely between those two. I was more in the Anna camp, to be honest. But I can't particularly give a great reason. I didn't... I don't know. I just thought it would be cool for the underdog to win this one. The one thing I didn't particularly like about Anna's wrestling style is she's obviously very athletic. I don't know if she has a gymnastics background, but like the way she can stretch her legs out, like the kick that she was doing. But the kick when the person was in the post, it didn't do anything. Like she was catching them with like the soft part of her leg.
Yeah.
So it might have looked like, oh, they got her in the face or whatever, but it's like, that's with the soft part of the leg. That's not doing... Like if you get them with the shin to the face or the knee to the face or the foot to the face. But when it's like your upper thigh to the face or part of that, I was like, it just doesn't look that effective. And she did that multiple times. So they definitely came to the outside as well. They were kind of close to us at a couple of points as well.
I like the graphics when it was said she was 25-0.
Yeah, at the end, I didn't realize she was 24-0 at this point, so it was kind of cool.
She said she was undefeated.
Yeah,
in a promo.
I knew she was undefeated, but I didn't know she was 24-0. I did like John Silver suplex Mark Sterling because he was interfering in the match.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool, and he had to be escorted out of the ring at the end as well. And that was it. And then I was almost to the point because we'd had a lot of wrestling events, and it was kind of been a long week, and the thing we got lucky with is it wasn't a snow day, but it's closest equivalent on a Thursday, so after the Wednesday, we kind of had a chance to sleep in a little bit, so I wasn't as tired as I might have been, and so on the Friday, it was, normally it would have been like, hey look, I'm done, it's all over, let's get out of here, and I kind of thought about it for a bit, and I was like, hey no, we got great seats, let's see what Tony's going to bring somebody out, let's see who he brings out, and he kind of said, oh, I'm going to bring a friend, he's like, let me go get it. It was kind of weird, why didn't he just bring him straight out? I didn't quite know why he didn't. Anyway, he went out, and then he came back, and he still didn't have a friend with him, and the music played.
I was saying CM Punk.
CM Punk. We got CM Punk. I didn't, having Matt seen was, him Wednesday, I did not think they would bring him out Friday.
If
as well.
Matt was there, he'd have been ecstatic.
I don't think he would have been. I was quite happy. We didn't get to see him wrestle. I know some people were hoping he was going to wrestle on Friday. I was like, we already saw him wrestle. He's not going to do that. Yeah. So he came out. Kind of did a little talk, played a few games, talked about, predicted about Hook, like you mentioned earlier.
Oh, we forgot about Christopher.
Oh, well, okay. Well, we'll talk about Chris. Yeah. Okay. Well, Christopher played Rock, Paper, Scissors with the refs. Yeah. Okay. He was a star. Fan. He was definitely a star.
Oh, yeah.
He
was over. The match.
The crowd was cheering as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was the match that we was talking about. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Okay, so he did all that stuff. Yeah. He finished off his speech. It was fine. It was like 5-10 minutes.
Yeah,
he got the crowd
about...
trying to shout and get who was the loudest. It was all fun. I was quite happy. And then he was getting ready to leave. He went over to the fans and I was like, he's just gonna give the first few fans like a high five or something and then just head out. And then he started to come like further around. He's like halfway round. I was like, you might want to get out there. Like, he might come all the way round at this point. And you're like, really? You weren't really that bothered. I was like, no, you won't need to. So anyway, I didn't push you out, but you kind of went out. Then you were kind of hovering at the end because you couldn't quite get forward.
Yeah, there were so many people.
It looked like to me that you could get through. And I'm like, hey, you're a little younger, so they're going to let you through. Anyway, you finally did get through kind of just as he was getting to your point. And then I was like, I don't have my camera ready at this point. So it happened so quick. And I was like, I was more interested in making sure you got out there. So you did, right?
Yeah, I did. I got the fist bump.
Mm-hmm. I got the picture of you as you're turning around.
Yeah, so... I probably could have got there earlier and got the camera ready for the selfie.
Yeah, I can say it happened so quick we didn't even think about it. Say the thing about the cameo that you want to do because that is pretty funny.
Like I should have got my camera out and then had like CM Punk say hi to Matt for something.
That would have been very funny, but there's no way you could have thought of that in the time because we just didn't think that was going to happen. And
I didn't even know Matt hated CM Punk.
Okay. Yeah, he only refers to him as Phil Brooks. And until he wins a match, and then he's going to refer to him as CM Punk, he said. That's the deal.
Until he wins a match?
Until he loses a match.
Oh. Okay.
And then at that point, it was like, oh my gosh, that's so cool. You got CM Punk. And I'm like, well, shoot, why don't I try and get a fist bump from him as well?
I
couldn't get onto the front row was already. Obviously, people who are on the front row were already there. So I was like, hey, we were right on the edge because we were the third row, but that was the back row.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, let's go around to the side. So I went to that corner. I couldn't get in there. And I was like, well, obviously he's going all the way around at this point. Let me just go to that very far side. But then I don't know why people had left. On that second row, I could get into the second row. And I was like, well, I can just step over the chair. Now, there was somebody's coat there. It was like on the back of the chair. I was like, I was like, oh, whatever. So I stepped over. I didn't get it. I couldn't get all the way up, but I was like close enough. I was like, once he comes around, I can kind of extend my fist out and I can probably get a bump from him.
Yeah, I got the video too.
And sure enough, as he was coming around and I was kind of waiting because he was talking to people because some people he was like, I don't think he was signing. Some people wanted selfies. Some people just wanted like a fist bump. And I guess people who were organized wanted selfies, but I wasn't that organized for that. And so I kind of waited, and then at the right time, I stuck my fist out, and he gave me the bump, and oh, God, I totally marked out. Because you can see on the video, I was like, yes! I was like so happy, and then kind of just got out of there. I got out quick, because I was like, let other people get in there as well. Like, this is really cool, we can do this. And you did manage to film it perfectly. Mm-hmm. And you said it looks like it's me filming a selfie. Mm-hmm. And it kind of does look like that. It's only 4 seconds. And the rest of the night, I was just pumped.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I'm not going to sleep.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to take me a while to get to sleep.
Like, I went to bed around 12 and I woke up at 7.
Uh-huh. I don't think I went to 1:30, but that was the other thing. As we're recording all this, my phone is getting lower and lower and lower. I literally had, I think, 300 megabytes on my phone. Mm-hmm. Like, my videos to begin with were 5 minutes. When CM Punk came out, I only had 37 seconds. And literally, he stepped in the ring at 37 and I stopped it. So I was totally out of memory. Mm-hmm. So I might have even struggled to get that picture anyway. That was kind of all we talked about at the end. Like, how cool was that?
Yeah.
Like, we didn't expect that. It would have been a memorable night anyway. We would have talked about that for ages and years going forwards. Hey, do you remember when we were third row at the AEW match and we got C-Sting and Punk and all those people? But to get that bump from him, that was huge. Yeah. You don't get that. I'm still amazed he did that.
Yeah,
because he's not particularly... I'd actually talked about on Good Cop, Bad Cop, and this is a little different. People were approaching him at the airport, asking for photographs and autographs and stuff. I'm like, leave him alone, he's trying to fly. Like,
people did that later?
No. This was the week before, I said.
Oh.
So, like, when he's traveling places, and I'm like, come on, leave him alone. Like, he apparently makes exceptions for little kids, which I'm like, fair enough. But, yeah, you don't hassle him, people coming up. Or if you're eating a meal, you don't go bother people. So I was surprised that he spent that. I just thought he would give a few people an out. And nobody would have complained. Nobody would have been like, oh, look at CM Punk. He gave, like, 3 people a bump and then he left. Everybody would have been quite happy with that. I said to you afterwards, this is one of the reasons why I love AEW, the fact that Tony got CM Punk out and Punk was quite happy to do that. They could have done that with any person on that card that we mentioned, and it would have been amazing. If they would have brought out, I'm picking anybody, Nick Comoroto, Jungle Boy, if they'd have picked them on there. Obviously, I don't think Moxley would have come out to that because it doesn't fit with his character. If you'd have brought Layla Hirsch out, it would have been cool. If you'd have brought that Powerhouse Hobbs, Ricky Starks, Lee Johnson, Lance Archer, Abaddon, oh, that wouldn't really fit with her character well. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
If any one of those people, bring Daniel Garcia out, if you'd have brought any one of those people out, we would have been just as excited and we would have still got it. We would have been, hey, look, go quick, go on. You can get a fist bump from Daniel Garcia. It would have been really cool. I'm wondering if they do that at all their events. I wonder that, actually. Obviously, the one we went to was their first one. It was a little different. I am wondering now if that's something that they might actually do. It builds fans. It makes perfect sense to do. It doesn't take very long. He was round in probably 2 or 3 minutes. Everyone had a few seconds with him, but it means the world to those people that he actually did. Yeah, I did not expect a fist bump from CM Punk. Yeah. Few people on Good Cop, Bad Cop tried to spoil it a little bit by talking about COVID restrictions and things like that. And, hey, make sure you sanitize your hand afterwards, blah, 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 blah. Saying it's not safe to make contact with that. They were just winding me up because I knew it was a cool moment. But, yeah, it's cool. Never forget that. I was very excited by it.
I'll get you a cameo next time, Matt.
Huh?
I'll get Matt the cameo next time.
We'll try and do it. Yeah, it was a super cool event. The day after, I was like, this is going to be a problem now, because now we've experienced how cool that is.
Is it?
That everywhere we sit now, even on indie events, even if we're third row, but it's going to be watching an indie event. Now we've seen third row for Moxley and people like that, then it's not going to be the same. Last night was still fun.
Yeah.
Last night was still really fun. But that setup, watching the people come in, down the ramp, the flames and all the different stuff they put on, it was really cool.
Yeah.
It was really cool. And, yeah, I don't know if we'll ever get a chance to get that close again. But if we don't, we did it at least once.
Isn't Darren, like, blocked by CM Punk?
Apparently he is. I think he said that. Yeah, I didn't know that. He was blocked by Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like, I knew that. But I think he said he was blocked by CM Punk. I don't know why he didn't elaborate on that.
Because he said, like, CM Punk said, if anyone wants me to block you, I will.
Oh, and I then, don't remember that.
I don't know, for sure.
Don't know. All right, you want to wrap this one up?
This is MGB, and we're out. Peace.
Music was Zigzag by Kevin MacLeod at incompetech.com. Licensed under Creative Commons by Attribution 3.0. https://creativecommons.org/licenses/by/3.0/